So this is what we hope to be a... Me, I'm Josh Stabler, and...
I'm Bailey Dieter, and we're just going to talk.
This is... that's It's kind of this, you know, just an unadulterated podcast, not really any given subjects. We hope to be able to just really, you know, as much as we can, just be able to just branch off into whatever the hell we want to do, talk about, you know, really anything either that's going on in our lives, things that interest us, like sports, history, movies, music, anything of that sort. You know, as you have seen, if you, you know, obviously if you're watching this and you check the title, it's called Spontaneously Erratic.
And that's because we're going to go in any direction we see fit. At any given point in any given episode that we record,
we could branch from talking about some kind of music album all the way to what just happened last week in our lives, or, you know, something like that. That's what makes this podcast so exciting for us too, is the ability to go from one topic to another and just, you know, without having to be set in, you know, a chronological order that we want to go in. So that's kind of the goal of this podcast.
So we're going to really hop into it here. Now, something recently that happened that is of general interest to both of us is the NBA draft.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, most of you who follow the NBA know that Zion Williamson was expected to go first overall, and he did.
Yeah.
And
for future reference, just so we kind of get these things out of the way, I'm a Wizards fan for the NBA, and
I'm Bailey a Celtics here, fan.
Yeah, he's a Celtics fan, so we clash a lot because... as the rivalry may not be as big as it may seem, we have a strong hatred for each other's teams because of how much we talk about them with each other. For future reference as well, we're both Redskins fans, we're both Orioles fans, we're both Caps fans. However, I'm more of a hockey guy than he is.
Yeah, I don't follow hockey that closely, I'll admit it. But
as well as baseball, he doesn't follow baseball as closely. And we're both Maryland fans for basketball, we're both Maryland fans for football. However, I'm also a Georgia fan for football.
Yeah, I really don't follow another team besides Maryland for football. I mean, obviously Maryland is not... notoriously great at football.
No, not at all. They haven't won a championship since the 50s, and it wasn't even like, it was kind of just a really weird story. But anyway, back to the NBA draft. You know, it was never a surprise. Zion went first, and, you know, is he going to change that franchise? As much as I want to say no because I hate Duke, he probably will change the franchise. He probably will be great. Is he going to be the next LeBron? Personally, I don't think he's going to be the next LeBron, but that's because I've grown up watching LeBron, and I feel like, you know, LeBron is on a different level from this generation standpoint. However, he could easily be incredible. But from separating from Zion, which was never a surprise, I think one of the biggest surprises of the first round was... thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I think one of the biggest surprises from round one was...
No, I'm sorry, guys. But what was one of the biggest surprises from round one?
I think one of the biggest surprises from round one was... I mean, I guess it's not really a surprise. To me, it just didn't make a lot of sense, less than a surprise. Was Darius Garland going fourth, I believe, to the Cavaliers. That he didn't play at all this season.
I mean, there were teams that said they were going to trade up for him.
Fair enough.
He was, you know, targeted.
I guess I didn't look at any film on him. It just kind of surprised me when, you know... I mean, I had been looking at mock drafts, and it's like, Darius Garland's going to go, and I was like, yeah. Right, you know, but... and it wasn't a surprise. I don't know why I said surprise. But it was kind of one of those things where it's just potential over performance, I guess. I mean,
yeah. Second overall, Ja Morant, obvious stud.
Hopefully.
Performed extremely well in the tournament, March Madness. What, triple-double for the first time in a long time?
Yeah, he had a triple-double in the game against Marquette. Yep, and was so. Like just absolutely showed out. And he even played well against Florida State.
Who had a great team last year.
And destroyed Murray State, regardless of how Ja Morant played.
Yeah, but, Ja Morant obviously went second. Now, third overall, RJ Barrett, New York Knicks. Now, that brings me to an interesting question that I saw on a sports show earlier give you, but they were talking about who has more pressure to perform well, Zion Williamson or RJ Barrett?
RJ Barrett. I think RJ Barrett.
Why?
I mean, that's hard, actually. Because Zion is now a national emblem of NBA basketball. He's going to be the most... he's going to be more paid attention to than almost any other player in the entire NBA this year because of the hype surrounding him. However, I think the reason I spontaneously said RJ Barrett was because of the fact that RJ Barrett is in that New York market now.
That's what I was about to say.
The Knicks have been so putrid for so long now that, you know, markets like New York and, you know, New York, LA, you know, places like that are so hungry for dominance in sports that, you know, obviously when things like this come around and
they have these
playoff droughts and these, you know, really just droughts for anything, you know, these players that you draft so high, like, you know, like him, and like you saw the backlash when they drafted Porzingis, you know.
But he ended up being a solid pick who's no longer with the team, but that's not here nor there.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's kind of the reason why RJ Barrett, I think, is going to be very, very – there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. Because personally, there was a point in this season where, I mean, I bounced back and forth a lot. And, you know, lately I came to my senses. But I thought that, you know, part of me had a lot of thought that RJ Barrett was the most complete and you know – most potential as an NBA player from all the players coming into the league this year.
So then it comes to the point where you say, all right, RJ Barrett obviously is in that New York market. Lots of eyes are on him. He's expected to take a team that has had a large drought recently from playoff bursts and et cetera and turn them around. But at the same time, who's expected to actually perform better between Zion and RJ Barrett? Like,
I mean, definitely Zion.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you know, he's been...
Zion could put up...
He's just seen as this freak of nature that's going to be his own just god of basketball.
It's like own breed, his own archetype of player.
Yeah, it's like when you're foreseen as your own archetype, there's no way that, you know, somebody just because of the market they're in can be seen as, you know, somebody with that's expected to perform so well.
I mean, RJ Barrett could put up 20 points a game and 10 assists, and people will say he balled out. However, if Zion puts up those same numbers, are they going to say he balled out, or are they just going to be disappointed? Is that not enough?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I kind of zoned out there.
RJ Barrett, I heard this on the show I was talking about earlier. They were talking about how RJ Barrett could put up respectable numbers, and they would say, hey, he balled out. But if Zion was to put up those same numbers, say 20 points a game, 10 rebounds, he would be almost disappointing. People are expecting more from him.
Yeah, I can see that. You know,
so,
somebody like RJ puts up a 10-point...
I believe it was Jalen Rose who said that.
Yeah, you know, somebody like RJ puts up a 15-point triple-double, you know. Zion's going to be seen as somebody that the league is going to want him to put up, you know, 20-plus points per game in his first season. Everyone's going to want to see him as an all-star. Everyone's going to want to see him, obviously, in the Rookie of the Year race. You know, there's going to be this unreal expectation for Zion.
Yeah, gotcha. Now, who was the biggest surprise in this NBA draft, in your opinion?
Like, as of, like, where they were picked?
Yes.
Bobo, no question. 44th overall, and there were people talking about the Wizards taking him with the 9th pick.
Yeah, exactly. He fell a lot.
I mean,
he played near here in Maryland.
Yeah, he did. He played at St. James, which is
30 minutes from here?
It's relatively close to this area, yeah.
Yeah, so some kids from our school actually met Bobo, and that's pretty cool. But
the thing is
he committed to Oregon, and he, got injured?
He got injured
very early on.
It's like, but I can't blame him, because somebody that's 7'3" that's already getting injured, I can't blame him, you know? He's lanky, he can easily...
He needs to beef up.
He needs to beef up, and his dad had a very high injury history, I believe, Manute Bol.
His dad was a weird case, too.
They thought that he was, like, 60 years old playing in the NBA.
I mean, it was his age was weird, his style of play was weird. There's a long period
Supposedly,
of time...
Supposedly, Manute Bol killed a tiger or a lion when he was a kid.
There's a long period of time where Manute Bol was only dominant in the paint, but towards the end of his career... He started to shoot threes and make them.
Do you think...
It was weird.
Do you think Bol Bol changed his profile picture on Instagram to blue because he's from Sudan?
Did he?
Did Do you think he did?
Check.
Do you think he did?
Check. No, I don't think he did. I want you to check, though.
I will check. Because, like, yeah. You know, it makes a big difference when you change your profile picture to blue. Bobo did not change his
profile picture. No! What is his profile picture?
It's him balling out in a number one Oregon jersey, like that.
Thank God. What about Manute Bol? Is his
profile? No, he's dead, Bailey.
Oh, that's right.
He died back in, like, 2010 from, like, being... What did he die of, anyway? Manute Bol.
I don't know what he died of.
He was an interesting man.
Poor Bol Bol has no dad.
Manute. He... Born, unknown, Torle or Gaudreal, Sudan, now South Sudan, died 2010 of, what did he die of? Acute kidney failure and complications from Stevens-Johnson syndrome.
Oh, that's fun.
However, people do not know how old he was. They believe he was in his, like, 50s or 60s, but they think he could have been in his 70s when he died.
I love that. Who's Bol Bol's, mom?
Stanute Bol. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Is Bol Bol an orphan?
No, he's definitely not, because Manute Bol was his dad, and Bol Bol was born... You know what Bol's middle name is? Manute.
Really?
Bol Manute Bol.
Actually?
Yes. I'm literally not even...
I literally love that.
Personal life. His Bol's father, Manute, was the tied for the tallest player to ever play because of Mirasan, who was also a bullet when, like, literally, I'm pretty sure they played together.
And Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah, who was the shortest. So,
the shortest and tallest player of all time played at the same time.
Mirasan played on the Bullets from 93 to 98, all right? 93 to 98. Manute Bol played from 93 to 98. Bol Bol played from 85 to 88. Oh, no, they never played together. That's so lame.
Wait, what were the years?
Manute Bol was there, like, 3 or 4 years before he got there.
Yeah, but I think Muggsy plays at the same time as Manute.
Oh, he did, because there's that picture of them, like, holding the balls between them, and Manute literally has 3 balls on him, like that.
Yeah.
It's, like, stupid. There's also one that they edited, and, Bol has a guitar, and then Muggsy's holding the amp. And Bol has a fedora on.
Why?
I don't know. Bol has a fedora and a box guitar, and then Muggsy's holding the amp.
That is a clever photo.
And then, Bol, like, is not somebody I would want to wake up and see, like, at the end of my bed. I would literally, like, crap my pants.
Like that meme from months ago with Howard the Alien?
Yeah.
Where, if you woke up with insomnia, what would you not want to see?
Like, you're, like, sleep paralysis, and it's just, like, Howard the Alien doing that. I could just see Manute Bol doing that. Like,
he's a huge and lanky dude. Oh, my.
Dude, but you know who else is somebody? You remember when we played NBA Live 15?
Yeah.
And there was that really creepy picture of Patrick Ewing as his card on yes. the team. Like, seeing that, just sitting, like, in my dark room, in the corner of my room on a chair, just seeing Patrick Ewing, like, oh my god. Patrick Ewing, like, is so creepy looking. I respect Patrick Ewing so much, but, like, I don't want to see Patrick Ewing sitting at the end of my bed.
He's scary. If I was Patrick Ewing's son, I would never disobey any of his house rules.
Patrick Ewing is, like, the man version of Michelle Obama.
Oh, my God. Wow, so stereotypical, Josh.
Dude, you're telling me I'm wrong?
No, she kind of does look like Patrick Ewing.
But, I don't know. You know, it's like, see, it's still creepy. Patrick Ewing's still creepy. Like, I like Patrick Ewing, but he's a creepy-looking man. Just like P.J. Patterson. I don't know who that is, but this picture is right here.
P.J. Patterson.
But Patrick Ewing is now coaching Georgetown in college, and they sucked last season.
That's good. Thank God.
Thank God for that. Did you know Patrick Ewing played on the Sonics?
I did not.
And the Magic.
I did not.
I didn't know that until I was in... So on the last day of school, I was in fifth period, and I like went on Instagram, and I was just kind of sitting there. The class was in silence. And it was only, like I said, remember how I told you about Mr. Behrens? It was, like, 5 people, that was it?
Yep.
I was just sitting there, and I was kind of sitting across from one of our friends, Evan, and I literally was like, just out of the silence, I was like, dude, no way. And Mr. Barron turns to me, he's like, what? And I was like, did you know that Patrick Ewing played for the Sonics? And Mr. Barron stares at me for a second, and he says, you know I hate basketball. I was like, Mr. Barron, though, that's so sick, though. Can you imagine him in any other uniform? And Mr. Barron just gave me, I mean, you didn't have Mr. Barron, but he gave me a Mr. Barron look. And it nice. It was hilarious. I was laughing so hard after that.
Yeah, I did not have Mr. Barron.
Mr. Barron was clutch, honestly. But he kind of just, like, secluded us after the seniors left. It was just, like, five of us. And he just kind of, like, originally his plan was to, like, play some Civil War-related TV shows or, like, movies. But we kind of, you know, we didn't show any interest in that. So he just kind of, like, was over on his computer for the next week and a half while we literally sat over there talking about just anything you can think about. We were talking about it. Anything. Anything at all you could think about, that was what we were talking about. And, you know...
I love that.
It was so dumb. It was, like... I spent the first day watching Apocalypse Now on my phone, and I actually felt like I was doing something relatively useful because I was watching a movie. And then, but the next few days, that was my plan. Every day I would start watching a movie, you know, finish it if I hadn't already finished it. But after that, I literally would do nothing. I came in the second day, and one of our friends, Tommy, was like, he was trying to karate kick a water bottle. And I was like, Tommy, watch out. I got this. And he puts it on the table, and I try to karate kick it, but I kicked so hard and missed the water bottle and just drilled the side of my foot, like this part right here, the middle part of my foot, right on the edge of the desk.
Ooh.
I thought I broke my foot. It swelled up. I was sitting over there without my shoe on in the corner of the classroom going, ooh, ooh, for like the next 10 minutes. And Mr. Barron walks in. He looks at me. He's like, what did you do? And I was like, I tried to karate. It was the worst thing trying to explain it. I was like, I tried to karate kick a water bottle. And,
nice.
And I completely missed the bottle and drilled my foot on the desk, and it came out like 5 feet. The desk slid 5 feet.
Speaking of fifth period, when you have Civil War, I have Earth Space Science with Miss Dennis. And don't get me wrong, Miss Dennis is really nice. I like her a lot. But Earth, Space, Science, obviously, can be boring. At other times, it can be very interesting. Don't get me wrong.
No, here's the thing, okay?
The space portion of Earth, Space, Science was extremely interesting.
We had an interesting talk about this. It was, like, the beginning of the year. And, you know, Bailey had been saying for a while, he's like, you know, this class is just, it's kind of boring, you know? And I was like, no, dude, this was during the space portion. I was like, the class isn't that bad, man. The space stuff is interesting. We get into talks about the space. About like, you know, we would talk about, you know, Big Bang Theory, so we would talk about what had happened before the Big Bang Theory. Was there anything before, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We'd talk about black holes when we got to that, eclipses, you know, all those things that you could think about, except for obviously, you know, branching out into other galaxies and stuff like that. But that was interesting. That portion was interesting. I think you can agree with that.
Yeah.
But then...
And we watched Interstellar, which is a great movie.
Yeah, that's...
And I'm happy Miss Dennis showed it.
Because it's now, because she showed me that, it's become one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's great. It's fantastic.
And it's like, you know...
Anything Christopher Nolan directs tends to be phenomenal.
Except for Dunkirk. But that's another... We can talk about that on another podcast.
I didn't
like
that movie that much either.
That I have a mixed bag with that one. But anyway, on the topic, back on the Earth Science topic, it's like... And then we started to kind of... We slowly left the space stuff when we got to sunspots. That's when things started to slowly come back on down to Earth and more Earth-affecting things, and that's when I slowly just started to give up. I really did. I really started to give up, man. I couldn't do it.
And, I mean, you could even... If you look at my grades, you can see that my grades are better in the second market period because I was more intrigued. And that just goes to show you.
My best grade was in the second market.
Yeah, exactly. Because
I paid attention.
When you have interest in a subject, you're bound to have more success. And that's not to say I was completely uninterested in the other topics.
I was done, bro. It was the third market period when it started. You know, I was trying, and then I was like, eh, you know. I got to fourth marking period, dude, and I mentally checked out. I was on Sporkle every single day in that class. And if you guys don't know what Sporkle is, it's literally this, like, this website online, obviously, that you can go to, and there's just quizzes of
random things.
Anything.
And I've taken my fair share of sportful quizzes in that class, too.
I mentally checked out. I came in one day towards the middle of the fourth marking period. I mean, it wasn't a great day anyway. I had work the night before, and I work at Chick-fil-A. It's like, I worked that night before, so I woke up that morning, and I was just done. I didn't care about anything. I was, like, I was wearing sweatpants and a sweatshirt, and I got into that class. And I was on Sporkle for, like, the first half. We got the new iPad, so we have, like, those really, like, actually awesome, like, keyboards and stuff. And I was on Sporkle to start the class, and I was sitting across from my friend Liam, and I just passed out. Like, I passed out and fell asleep in the class. And I remember she asked me something, and I know I could tell this story better, like, a month or two ago, because I remember telling you the story of how she was focused so much on Landon because he was, like, he was sleeping, and he, like, she thought he was on his phone, and I was kind of just spaced out, just, like, I fell asleep, and she, at the very end of class, she said, "Right, Josh?" And, you know, I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "What did I just say?" And I looked at her, and I just read out exactly what the board said, and she's like, "Oh, so you have been paying attention." And I just didn't answer, and I went back to sleep and slept for, like, the next 5 minutes of class. But that class was very, very uneventful, for me at least, after the second marking period ended. I mean, I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, second marking period was definitely the most intriguing marking period for me because I had an interest in the space topic. Third marking period, fourth marking period, Ms. Dennis does this thing called phenomena-based teaching, which I don't mind. I mean, it's basically the same concept as, hey, this is the topic I'm going to be teaching for the next week, but she calls it a phenomenon because it's like a repeating occurrence in the world. So, I mean, there are certain parts of the way Miss Dennis operates her class that I'm not a huge fan of. Evidence notebooks, for example, she has us do this evidence notebook that we did.
Bro, I'd rather do evidence notebooks than the stuff we did the last two marking periods in the last. I couldn't do it.
Like, I didn't like evidence notebooks. I felt they were tedious, and for the first part of the year, I did this thing called temporary evidence notebooks that drove Miss Dennis.
Was that the paper? That's yes. What Liam did. That's what yeah. Liam did. He did that, like, what were we doing on the last few days of school when she mentioned something about evidence notebooks, and he was like, he turns to me, he's like, "Bro, I don't know what I should do about that, because all my evidence notebook questions from the first marking period were on my freaking temporary stuff." And I was like, "Dude, I don't know what to tell you, man, because those are definitely gone."
Yeah, for the first, like, two marking periods, all my evidence notebook questions were online paper. She was like, "Buy a composition notebook." And eventually, an unexpected and unsung hero, Jay Jansen, gives me an extra composition notebook. And I never talked to Jay, but that was cool, so I was like, thanks. And, yeah, Austin Himes was in my class, and he was pretty chill. He was one of the main people I talked to. And so, this, like, second, or I think it was the very last day of school, I walked out, and Miss Dennis was having us clean the evidence notebook bins. And so, me and Austin went out to the greenhouse to use the hose.
Yeah.
And we realized we need a third person, because the hose in the greenhouse is weird. You have to hold the handle in the greenhouse, and then you have to turn the spigot and keep holding the handle and then use the hose. So we needed one person to hold the handle at all times. We needed one person to hold the bins and one person to use the hose. So I was using the bins. Barry Wright was holding the spigot in, and Austin was holding the bins. And we were in the greenhouse, the school greenhouse, and we were trying so hard not to do something, you know, stupid.
Yeah.
Because obviously we're on school, and Miss Dennis has just told us to do this without getting soaking wet. And so we're doing it, and when Barry holds in the spigot, there's a small mist that comes out, and he's freaking out because he has his brand new Jordans on. He's like, "Dude, look at the shoes! Hold on, I just got these!" So he's jumping all around, trying to find a place to stand safely. Me and Austin are cracking up about that, and Austin's holding the bin, and I start spraying, and I'm like, "We need more pressure." So I put my thumb over the hose the way you do,
yeah.
And it just starts spraying into the bin. And as it's spraying into the bin, I realize, okay, I'm going to go up top here, and I'm going to go slow. But as I go up top, Austin has it slanted towards himself, and it drips all over his pants.
Dude.
And they're just soaked. So we have to go inside and explain to Miss Dennis what happened, and she's like, well, at least it's only fifth period. You got one period left and you get to go home. So she wasn't mad, but that was good.
I have, there was, I think it was the last day of school. It was, like, involving Austin. I love Austin. Honestly, Austin's so chill. I don't talk to him that much. I talked to him a lot last year because he was in my, a few of my classes, actually. But I didn't get to talk to him a whole lot this year because he wasn't in any of my classes. But, this year, or it was, like, the last day of school, actually, I have earth science sixth period. So we're doing the last day of school, you know, we're just kind of cleaning out the classroom. Were you cleaning out the classroom?
Yes. That's what I was talking about with the bins. We were cleaning the bins.
Yeah, we were kind of doing that. But anyway, Liam, she doesn't let us use the bathroom very well. Like, that system doesn't work very well in her classroom. And I mean, I think if you need to go to the bathroom, you should be able to go to the bathroom. No questions asked. Like Eckerd's, Mr. Eckerd's thing. But I can somewhat respect her, you know, system. But anyway, so our way of getting out of the classroom for little bits of time was using the water fountain. So Austin walks by our classroom, and he looks in, and he says hi to me and Liam, who's one of my other friends. We had a super small earth science class, but Austin walks by, and he's like, hey, Liam, come here, I want to tell you something. And so Liam's like, hey, Miss Dennis, can I go to the water fountain? So he pops out real quick, and he walks up with Austin to, like, almost to the cafeteria, and he comes back in. And I didn't see any of this because I wasn't watching it. I was just kind of cleaning the countertops off. He comes back in. He's like, bro, I just pants the out of Austin. And I'm like, what? He's like, underwear and all. He's like, freaking, he tells me, he's like, they were in the freaking cafeteria, which was empty at this point because it was last period of the day. And he just pants his Austin and grabs his underwear with it and just, like...
Like, fully naked Austin in the cafeteria. Yeah, but
his, the only thing is that his hoodie was covering his, like, junk. So, all right. Nobody saw it. But he pants him all the way and everything. And Austin was, like, shaking because he just got pants in the... In, like, literally in public. Everything. I'm thinking, you know what? It would have been one thing if obviously it was just a normal pantsing. But, bro, this wasn't a normal pantsing. Like, everything came off.
Like, double layers.
Everything. I'm like, how do you get such a good grip? Oh, my God. I couldn't handle myself. I'm sitting there dying, and Miss Dennis comes over. She's, like, asking me. She's like, what's so funny? And I'm like, I don't know, honestly. I just have to play it off as if I'm just, like, I don't know, freaking, like, just, like, laughing randomly.
Yeah, gotcha. It's like a... It's like one time in Mr. Eckerd's, we were about to do a debate.
Oh, my God.
And we still talk about this. And some argument was happening between, I think...
Jacob Smith and Noah.
Smith and Noah were having a mild argument.
Two of our friends, Jacob Smith is a Fortnite god and Noah Yeager is a bot.
Yeah, and a barn banger.
That's what any... And
he's
anyway.
He's dating Mar.
Yeah, long, you know, very Boonesboro, our school stuff, I guess.
Noah and Jacob are having some mild argument about Fortnite, Marissa, who knows.
And
then, all of a sudden, Mr. Eckerd tells them to be quiet.
And
they don't.
This is was a very common occurrence. Mr. Eckerd was our favorite teacher. He's, honestly, Mr. Eckerd has got to be one of, if not the best teacher I've ever had. I learned really well from him. He was the most down-to-earth teacher and most relatable teacher I've ever had. I know... Almost anybody that had that class can relate with that and can agree with me. But, and these, even those two would probably agree with that. But they
pushed him to his limits.
They don't, and they do it in every class. They don't like to stop talking. And they, especially to each other. And I mean, it wasn't just them. Two of our other friends would do it a lot. You know, but it was mostly them. And they would be told to, you know, hey, put everything away.
And I have my fair share of problems not talking. Yeah. I get in trouble with Mr. Eckerd a fair bit, just not as much as those two.
But
it was that day in particular. We were doing a debate.
What was the debate about?
I forget, dude.
Wasn't it... Hold on a minute. I know what it was. It was... shoot. What was that about? It was... I think... Dude, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were doing that debate, and... They wouldn't stop talking, and Mr. Eckerd, he's done it before, and, you know, it's like, he would lash out at them because they just wouldn't shut up, so, I mean, it's like, I don't blame him for doing it.
Yeah.
But afterwards, Noah Yeager, it wasn't Noah this time, though, he kind of stopped. Jacob just kept laughing, Jacob Smith just kept laughing.
And would not stop. And eventually, Mr. Eckerd goes, is something funny, yeah. Jacob? And then it just makes him laugh even more and like, multiplies the...
And then this was the first time he'd ever done it. He calls off the debate.
Yeah, he just stops it.
And he makes us do a paper, and I was so disappointed. And I'm like... And I'm surprised that people in that class didn't get more mad at them. Because, like, it's like... The paper wasn't that difficult, but it's just stupid. I'd rather do the debate, but it's just, you know, it's just stupid. They, I love both of them, honestly, but, like, they get on my nerves when they do stuff like that. They really do.
Then again, the class had become quite used to interruptions and papers, because that's kind of what we did every day in Mr. Eckerd's was a paper, notes, stuff like that, which wasn't bad, because Mr. Eckerd had good instructions, the notes were clear, so, I mean... The papers were self-explanatory.
I just wish we had that class for the whole year.
But yeah, and, but we also had individuals the likes of Dante, who is a Cuban individual in our school.
But he's not really foreign. He's just, I don't know.
And he does some, he makes some poor decisions sometimes that make Mr. Eckerd a very aggressive young, teacher towards the young man.
We don't want to get into that right this second. That's a story for another day.
Yeah, I've had a lot of run-ins with, as has Josh, with Dante being irrational and...
And see, Dante's one of those people that, like, I try to... He's one of those people that, like, unlike some people that I, you know, I think you can understand who I'm implying, but I'm not gonna get into it. But Dante is somebody that, like, I don't try to mess with Dante. I try to, you know, just mind my own business, be civilized around him, and then just go about my way when it's over. But there's people that either push him or he's being an idiot around them, which makes them, you know, obviously, you know, get into that stuff. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. Dante is just an interesting individual. He really is. And it's hard to categorize him. But, you know, Eckerd had been... There's a lot of stuff in that classroom that's, you know, that has pushed him, sadly, that had pushed him. And, I mean, he kept his cool better than anybody I've ever seen with that class like that.
Who, Eckerd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's, you know, you got Dante, you got those two we just mentioned, you got you. And believe me, you know, you're my best friend and all, but, like, there were days where I just couldn't handle it. When you were just
being there's things I've done. There are things I do.
And it was just, like, it's just a repeating thing of, like, you know, these little, like, things every day that, you know, you just repeat. And it's, like, it's the most obviously, like, fine print instructions, and you would ask about it. Like, Eckerd could say, on page 54, and you would say... In what book? And it would be up on the board. It would literally be right there on the board. And everyone would yell, like, Bailey, it's on the board. And you'd be like, okay. And it just drove me insane every single time. It's not just Eckerd's class either.
There's Spence's and all of them. Yeah, I got you.
It's so dumb, honestly.
Yeah, we had Spence's class for only the first half of the year, though.
Same with Eckerd's, but like...
That was second half, but yeah.
Spence's had some interesting stories. I'm trying to think of, like, an interesting story from Spence's class, other than Matt Green humping the Vietnam equipment up the ramp.
That was pretty amazing. There was also, we did the creative embellished stories.
Oh my god, that was amazing.
Where I wrote about you as a samurai, yeah. And how you went on a...
I killed the vice principal in his story.
You did. I embellished the story.
I impaled him through a...
cabinet.
A reading cabinet.
Yeah.
Like a book cabinet.
Josh, in this embellished story, took... Mr. Bright, our vice principal, had a handgun. He was threatening to kill Josh, who was dressed in full samurai armor.
I had just...
Killed me.
Assisted Bailey in performing seppuku, which is like the traditional samurai, like...
Japanese suicide.
Yeah, where they like...
Preserve honor.
Yeah, okay. They'll
stab themselves in the gut, yeah,
and then has like a word for it though. When you they disembowel themselves, and then somebody will cut their head off for them. But like, you know, Mr. Bright runs in. Everyone's, like, freaking out.
And Mr. Bright has a handgun. And he pointed at Josh.
He shoots twice.
And the bullets miss. One of them impales our classmate, Hunter Stavro, in the back of the head, who bleeds profusely. That's a completely random detail I threw in for sheer comedy factor. Okay? So, Hunter's dead in the story. Hunter's fucking wasted. He's gone. Hunter's gone. All right? And so, we need... I mean, I'm not just going to give up at this point. There's still more we need to do, like, to progress the story. I can't just stop with Hunter's death. So Mr. Bright walks in, loaded handgun. Two shots fired at Josh. Obviously, the one hits Hunter. It's a misfire. Second, ricochets off his armor. So now it's Josh's turn to strike. He takes his samurai sword and impales Mr. Bright through a reading shack, through a reading shelf, just through it. Mr. Bright dies. He cusses out Josh. Our vice principal cusses out another student.
It's so embellished.
In this story. And then, Eckel, Nate Simpson, another kid in the class who's our friend, picks up the handgun and then kills Josh. And that's the end of the story.
But it was just, it got such a insanely good reaction that it's like, you know, that was, it was one of the, honestly, like, one of the best short stories I've ever read, you know.
And I wrote it, and I was proud of what I wrote.
Robert Frost can eat his heart out, honestly, because that was a great story. Mine was more like, it was like, what was it supposed to be based on, like, what was it, what was even, like, the kind of, I guess...
It just had to be a standard story, embellished heavily.
Yeah, mine was about how, like, because we had been doing kind of, like, we had been reading a Vietnamese, or, like, a Vietnam War book, so I kind of went on the psychological aspect of things, and I did one about how, Bailey, like, because of, we had to do so many annotations, which
that I just would,
he
I
literally
just went,
like,
try hard crazy bonkers mode, did not just, leave the basement doing annotations non-stop.
He went bonkers, and I, like, found him in the basement of his house, just, like, curled up in a ball with, like, a bunch of, like, this, literally the book we were reading just stacked in just piles and piles of the same book with just a few candles around him on the floor. Basically, like, something you would see on a satanic ritual. That's what it was like. That's
and that was Josh's was. Embellished story.
It
and
wasn't
it was...
as good, but it was me, you, and Trey that read in front of the class.
Yeah.
It was me, you, and Trey that read in front
and,
of the class.
And Trey's story, I got shot in the shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah, we were... In his story, we were, like, walking through the,
Forest of Vietnam, where we were, like, ambushed. Yeah.
We were ambushed, and, you were killed, and I think... Wasn't Nate killed in it, too?
Jacob, I think, was a medic. I think Nate might have been killed, yep. But, yeah, they were fun to read off. That was one of the most fun projects we did in Miss Spence's class.
I was in tears listening to Bailey's the first time, dude. And your parents did not like the idea of your story.
No. They thought I was going to go to the principal and, first of all, fail the project.
And our teacher even said it was, like, one, like, the best one of the class. Like, she liked it so much. But your parents were worried that you were going to fail it.
For being too violent.
But it was, like, hysterical. And it was supposed to be embellished heavily, and that's exactly what you did.
And I got a 100% on the paper, so... And didn't get in trouble, so we were all good.
I mean, you know. What else are you going to do?
All right, so, I think that's going to wrap it up for this first episode. It's 9:48 p.m. here in Boonesboro, Maryland. And I have work tomorrow at 6 a.m., and I'm not home. So I have to get going home, take a shower, get ready to sleep. I'm sure Josh has to do the same. I hope everyone listening enjoyed this episode of Spontaneously Erratic. We talked about English, earth science, the draft, and a whole slew of topics in between. And that's basically what you can expect. I mean, obviously, those are some very different topics. Zion Williamson to RJ Barrett to Bol Bol. To
Miss Dennis,
to Mr. Eckerd for a while, then to Miss Spence. So we talked about school, sports.
You know, and we just hope that, you know, this is something that, you know, something that you guys can really just get to know us and hopefully, you know, get involved more in our lives and just enjoy this podcast and, you know, these just random thoughts. That, I mean, if this kind of, you know, seemed branched off and random, you know, it's easily going to get more random as, you know, more episodes happen, because obviously, you know, we're going to have so many topics that we are going to talk about that it's going to get just so unbelievably random.
And eventually we'll probably start listing out topics, planning topics, like, right before we start, come with five or six topics we want to start with.
Honestly, this podcast could even eventually maybe turn into something actually, like, directed on a singular, like,
subject.
Branch of subject or something, yeah.
Yeah, but for now...
For now, it's just, you know...
Spontaneously erratic. And we're just talking about whatever, and it, I personally intend for it to stay that way for a while. If we do eventually branch in one direction, I mean, I'm all for it, but for now, I just enjoy talking about our lives, about everything, and that's going to be the episode. So, enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for listening.
Keep it random. Keep it awesome.